Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Heard it through the grapevine.
I bet you want to know. That's what the man said. I bet you want to know.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. And we are pleased to be joined on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline by the voice of the Fighting Cardinals, Paul Rogers. Paul, how are you today?
Good. You guys are the ultimate grapevine. I'm happy to provide rumors and information.
That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear.
Hey, Paul, before we get into like breaking the game down with Florida State, I've got to ask you, they've had three straight losing seasons, right?
And isn't that something?
That's amazing. I read it the other day, and I thought, how have I missed that? And, you know, you guys go down there and win, and it looks like then it's going to be four straight. And can Norvell survive, or will he have a moving van in his front yard after this ball game?
Well, they're not real pleased down there, and it is shocking. I just don't understand how this has happened with the talent bed they have down there and the facilities and the tradition. It's just hard to explain how a team falls so far. And as I look at them, I can't say they are lacking in talent. They just, I don't know what it is. I can't put it together. Last week they had six turnovers and a bunch of penalties. But this goes back, as you said, 3 years ago. And first, when Jimbo Fisher, things started going down, and then Willie Taggart came in and didn't get better. Now Mike Norvell came in, who had great success at Memphis, and he hadn't gotten things straightened out. So I don't have the answer, but it's mysterious to me.
Well, it does make sense that it's not talent. We, Mike and I, have talked about the situation out at Southern Cal, and they're looking for a new head coach, and the problem there has been the lack of talent. But with all of the Division I prospects in Florida high school football, they have to have some people that can play, don't they, Paul?
You would think, and I mean, looking at them individually, it appears they do. They've still got some good, strong defensive linemen, which was what they were built on many years ago. I won't say they don't have quarterback talent, but they haven't been able to settle on a quarterback, and I think that's hurt them. Both McKenzie Milton and Jordan Travis have played, and I think they're still trying to figure that out. You know, they've got the solid running backs. So they went big in the transfer market. Of course, it seems like almost everybody is these days. But it looks to me like they've got the goods, and in a way that's frightening because it always worries you that they're going to put it together against your team. It was a similar situation 2 years ago when Louisville went down there. The people were not happy. They had the smallest crowd they'd had in many years. I don't remember exactly what it was, 40,000 or so, maybe something like that. And Florida State managed to win that game, as it turned out, although they still wound up having a losing season. But I think the talent's there. Maybe there's a culture problem. Maybe there's a discipline problem. Certainly I'm not in the locker room and don't know. But you just worry when a team does have talent that they could possibly put it together at any time.
Well, Paul, we've watched Cunningham develop this year. He's got some really special feet, and he's throwing the ball better. But what does Louisville have to do offensively against this team? I mean, Florida State has given up points to Jacksonville State. They gave up points to Notre Dame, although only got beat by a field goal. And Wake Forest drilled them. So, you know, defensively, they have to be deficient, aren't they?
Well, maybe not as bad as it looks because they've been put under the gun, again, by those turnovers last week and some penalties. But Louisville, first and foremost, and this has been the case for them the last couple of years, has got to keep away from the turnovers. They've won these last two games by being even or better in the turnovers, including that crazy swap of interceptions last week that resulted in their win. But they got to play smart, not turn the ball over. I really think Cunningham, I know there's a lot of emphasis on him being a better pocket passer, but I really think he's better almost as a run-first quarterback. Not that he can't throw, but when he has that running threat, it has the defenses so much more on balance that then enables him to throw the ball. But he's really dangerous with his feet. And last week we saw the best of him both running and throwing.
Paul, I think we also saw the best of the offensive line. And going into the season, that was supposed to be one of the strong points for the Cardinals. And it sure didn't look like it the first two games.
No, they struggled, and they admitted it. They would always talk about how it come back. You know, one guy missing a little assignment here and a little thing there. But last week, they really put it together and had their best game. And oddly, they were without Adonis Boone, one of their best linemen, who was out with an injury. I'm not sure if he'll be back this week or not, but they seemed to settle on the same five pretty much through the whole game. They didn't rotate and change players as much. And as a unit, I think it resulted in their best game.
Paul, you obviously had front row seat for that game last Friday night. Do you have any idea what Malzone was doing once they got the turnover, under 30 seconds? What in the world were they doing with a couple timeouts passing the ball?
Funny you asked that, because you are the first person I've heard bring that up, other than a cousin of mine who lives in Orlando and is a big Central Florida fan and is still fuming over that. But the previous drive, they had gone, I forget the exact distance, I think it was about 60 yards, and they ran eight plays. There was one incomplete pass and seven runs. So when they got the ball with 30 seconds left, virtually in a field goal range, I'm thinking they're going to run the ball and kick a game-winning field goal. And I think that's part of the reason why I lost so much on that call. I was just so stunned at the whole turn of events, the pass, the interception, the run back, because I really wasn't expecting that, and I don't think anybody in the stadium was expecting that. So that was a bit of a puzzling call. But, you know, if they always, you know, the bad calls are always the ones you question. I mean, it does seem like a risk, but if the guy had caught the pass, they're in dead sense field goal range, and then you're never having that discussion. But it was a strange play.
Well, Paul, I know you do your homework and do it extremely well. Was there field goal kicker suspect, or do you think he was pretty much in his range at that point?
No, he was a freshman, but he'd been very good. And I don't think they were quite in range then, but they didn't have to go far to get there. I don't think there was any lack of confidence in the kicker. I think they just decided to go for the jugular right there and hit the big play, and it backfired.
Okay, let's talk about this Florida State game. What's the key? They've got a couple nice runners, and Central Florida gashed the defense of Louisville's at times. And, of course, you've got Cunningham, those special feet. Mitchell Kidd is done well. So what's the key? What are the keys for U of L on Saturday?
It always starts with turnovers with them, and I know that's kind of blah to say, but it really has been the key statistic for Louisville since Satterfield has been here. So first and foremost, they have to take care of the ball. It would be nice if the defense can get some. That's a bonus, but mainly Louisville can't turn it over. So if they can get, I think, again, Cunningham as a good running threat and get that good run-pass balance, that's what they need to do offensively. And defensively, just play sound and play aggressively like they did last week. They were very sound during the week, with aggression at the right times. In fact, they came with a pretty hard blitz on that interception there at the end of the game, which probably affected that a little bit. C.J. Avery was coming right at the quarterback, and the throw wasn't bad, but it was a little bit off. That's one reason the receiver couldn't really cradle it. It bounced out of his grasp. So, you know, be sound, but be aggressive at the right times, and I think they'll have a good shot to win the game.
Paul, it's amazing how one play can turn a season around. I mean, if Central Florida does kick that field goal, then the Cardinal fans are ready to run everybody out of town, and now, you know, we're talking about a 8 or 9 win season. Do you think that was a huge turning point for this season for the Cardinals?
Absolutely. It remains to be seen if they can continue and go on from here, but certainly at the time, if they don't make that play, you're really feeling bummed. Although I will say, had they not won the game, they had played very well. But before the crazy ending, it was a terrific game. So I think there was going to be some encouragement there. But yeah, if they'd lost it, and now they're sitting there 1-2 instead of 2-1 and looking at two straight road games, and you're thinking, oh boy, this season could really be rough. Now, with one play, you're right, all of a sudden there's great optimism. The key, obviously, is for the team not to keep thinking about that and move on and play smart and play well from here on. But it certainly gives you hope.
Well, with Florida State's record, you would think that they're not going to have a full house because they're 0-3. So it's a situation where, unlike when Notre Dame was there and people were hanging from outside, you know, I mean, they were packed in there. How much of an advantage is that when you go to a place like Florida State and they don't have the crowd that typically they have?
You know, I'm not sure, because I think with sometimes when you go on the road and the crowd is really fired up, it fires you up too. It creates a great environment, and I think it's conducive to really good play. I think the enthusiasm of the crowd here last week helped inspire both teams to play good ball. So I don't know necessarily that it's a good thing to have a blah crowd. Sometimes when it's that way, the players feel sort of the same way. So I'm not sure, but the one thing is obviously you won't have the huge noise level that can affect a team when they're trying to execute their offense sometimes. So I would say probably given the choice, a team would rather not have a rabid crowd. But on the other hand, I do like those atmospheres of big crowds, but I don't think it'll be a big crowd tomorrow. I think it'll be similar to what we saw 2 years ago, maybe only 40,000 or so there.
Don't they have one of their quarterbacks injured, may not play? Did I read that?
I'm waiting to find out. Jordan Travis and Mackenzie Milton have been alternating, and Travis did hurt his shoulder during last week's game and did not finish the game. I haven't really heard a progress report this week. Milton is a great story himself. You remember, he was a quarterback at Central Florida several years ago when they had those great teams, and then had a horrific knee injury that wiped him out for 2 years and then came back this year to play. And Travis started his career at Louisville.
And That's right. Yeah,
but didn't play much, but was here as a freshman, played a little bit. But he's more of a running threat than Milton is. They've both been guilty of throwing too many interceptions. So I'm not sure which one it'll be tomorrow, but I do think there is some question about Travis, yes.
Well, Paul, we'll let you go. We appreciate your time. I know you've got things to do and an airplane to catch. So travel safe, and we'll be listening to you on the call for the Cardinals.
Thanks, guys. Always good talking to you. Check back in a few weeks. We'll see where we're going.
And we may talk some basketball at that point, too.
Probably so, yeah.
There you go.
Thanks. Thanks, Paul.
You bet.
He's the best. Again, I'll say that we have two of the best play-by-play guys that you can find in Tom Leach and Paul Rogers.
Paul Rogers.
Man, they both are really good and not afraid to share their opinions.
No.
Yeah. So, but speaking of opinions,
yes.
I'm going to put the ball on the tee for you here.
Okay. All right.
You read the article on Southern California, and why I'm leading into this, because some people think Florida State's recruiting has fallen off. Now, Paul thinks they've got talent.
Right.
Okay. But we talked about Florida being chock full of Division I players. I think one time I read 1 year they had like 235 D1 players.
Players come out of a high school in just the state of Florida.
Yeah. So talk to me about the article you read about Southern California, because they pulled the moving truck up on Clay Helton.
Yep.
They may pull the moving truck up Norville. I wanted to say Nolan. Norville. Maybe not. I hate that. But let's be honest. It could happen.
Right.
It could happen. I mean, Paul's expecting a less than sellout crowd for this game. So they lose
one. And nothing gets an athletic director or a president's attention more than seeing all of those empty seats. Because, you know, for most college programs, football is the revenue driver.
It's the train.
Yeah. And you see a bunch of empty seats. Florida State
that won't be good.
Fanny's in the seat, and then you got Deion Sanders just down the road. But let's talk Southern Cal. Everybody, you know, everybody except you and I have been named as potential coaches at Southern California. Even Crean was mentioned, and Process was mentioned. You know?
Well, the gist of the article that was in The Athletic this morning, and the headline is how USC crashed a Ferrari of talent and what it means for the next head coach. And basically, the article is about how Southern Cal has just fallen off the radar as far as recruiting is concerned. And and this is the part I don't like. They quote an anonymous former assistant coach.
I agree.
I mean, if you're not willing to use your name, then, you know, don't bother talking.
Agreed.
But his line was, when Clay Helton walked into a room right after Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, the response was from the recruit, "Who is this guy? we never heard of him before." But in 2020, just a year ago, USC had the nation's 64th recruiting class.
Wait, 64?
64th recruiting class, and they were dead last in the Pac-12.
And I think there's only, what, maybe 130 teams that play Power 5 football?
And they were 64th.
Wow.
And you go back and you look at the history, and from 2009 to 2018, USC had five recruiting classes ranked in the top four nationally and nine top 10 classes. Listen to this stat. When the NFL opened the 2021 regular season, Southern Cal wasn't even among the top 20 programs in college football with players on NFL rosters. In 2016, just 5 years ago, USC was tied for second as far as college players in the NFL. And then the article goes on and quotes some other people, and, you know, it's quotes players who have left the program, not transferred, but have graduated and moved on, saying, you know, it's even worse than the statistics show. So
did they say why? Was there an issue with the coaches or
it was most,
the offense?
Yeah, it was mostly, as I said earlier, they said, you know, when you're going after these top kids and for these top programs, Mike, I mean, you're talking about Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama. For these top programs, recruiting is a national. I mean, they don't just recruit regionally. They recruit nationally. So those programs are going to go into Southern California and try to get, and in most cases succeed, the best players in those areas. And, again, it was, you know, there was a quote that said, you know, when Urban Meyer or Nick Saban or Dabo came in, it was like USC had no shot when those people showed up to recruit in their area. So we've talked about this before. Sometimes your perception of yourself isn't quite what everybody else's perception is. And I know that this is a storied program and have had some of the better college players and college teams,
Heisman Trophy winners,
in the history of college football. But today is today, and I don't know that they're going to get some big name coach to take this job. It'll be interesting to watch.
The point that Bob Valvano and I always make is you can't money whip these coaches anymore because they're all making big money.
Yeah.
So you have to present them with an opportunity to win a championship. I think if you want a top name coach, you've got to pay him, okay, but he's making a lot of money. So that's your mark, what he's making at wherever. Now, he has to see that he has a better chance, I think, to win a national championship, go to the playoffs, and if the playoffs expand, that may be to his advantage. That's what you have to show him, I think. And then the recruiting base is good, Dan. That's good. But that ties in to the chance to win a national championship. Okay, so why would Ryan Day at Ohio State leave to go to Southern Cal? He doesn't have any better chance to win the national championship.
Oh, no, not even close to the chance he has at Ohio State.
So who are you looking at? Do you need a big-name guy to make a splash?
Well, that's the conundrum right now, is you to overcome what this article is talking about. Helton isn't going to blow anybody away. When you get out on a national recruiting level. So you need a player that is going to get those recruits' attention and now be able to increase the talent level at Southern Cal. Then the problem is if you can't get that name because you've fallen so far off the radar. So, it's. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough to get a big-name college coach there.
I think that what they really need to consider, I agree with you, it's going to be very tough, but they need to consider two things. One is style of play. Okay, you're going to have to get a guy who has a style of play that is interesting to the recruits. Then you're going to have to put money in your assistant coach's budget.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to get some guys to go out, beat the pavement, and get some things done. I always said that the assistant lines them up. They decide whether they want a young fella or not, or a young gal. The assistants line them up. The head coach comes in and closes the deal.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Helton versus other guys.
Right.
But somebody's got to put the ball on the tee for the head coach.
Well, that's a great point because further down in this article, another criticism of Helton was that he didn't do a great job putting his staff together.
Oh.
And the comment came from one of his former assistant coaches, and he guys said, including me, maybe I shouldn't have been.
Well, there's an honest guy.
You put a bad staff together and you can't recruit. That's not a good combination.
There's a guy I think that is interesting in this job, and he was mentioned early. Now he's kind of fallen under the radar. PJ Fleck, row the boat, was successful MAC coach. I think it was Central Michigan. He's now Minnesota. Has done a nice job there. Now, do you have a better chance to win a national championship at Southern Cal or Minnesota?
Well, if you can recruit, that's an easy
there you
answer.
Go.
But last year, when their recruiting class was dead last in the Pac-12. Now, think about that.
Yeah.
That means places like Colorado,
Oregon State,
Washington State had higher ranked recruiting classes than you did. The cupboard's not exactly stacked for a guy coming in there. So, the answer is Southern Cal, but you got to have the players.
Well, but I think that he's proven he can recruit to Minnesota. He's elevated that team.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you can recruit to Minnesota against other Big Ten teams, I surely think that you could do Southern Cal.
But, Mike, is that a name that's going to get the recruits' interest when you've got Nick Saban or Dabo Swinney sitting in your living room?
Well, that's a fair question. But maybe they can't go toe-to-toe with those guys right off the bat. And if the coach, P.J. Fleck, is the guy we're talking about now, would hire the right staff, there's a lot of talent below the top cut.
Yeah.
Now, there's like three quarterbacks from California that are playing on the East Coast. I think Alabama's quarterback, Clemson's quarterback, and I believe Ohio State's quarterback is also from California. Why don't they keep them in California? So something's wrong out there. Something's wrong. So, before we get to a break, I'm going to give you three questions that we'll answer when we come back, along with our picks.
I was never very good at tests, so I hope they're not hard questions.
You never took any. Somebody always took them for you.
No, now don't say that. Don't say that.
All right. I want you to give me a must-see TV game this weekend. I also want you to give me the most intriguing game for you this weekend. Okay? And what about the best top 20 matchup? Top 20 matchup, there's not many.
No, there aren't.
Those three questions are there for you when we come back from break.
Great. Okay. And you have a duty to do here, Mr. Pratt.
I do. Just bear with me one momento. One momento. We're going to talk about our friends at Stockton Mortgage. What would you rather have in your dream house? The financing may not be as glamorous as a butler's pantry, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home. They'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259. Equal housing lender.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
A little Super Supremes music from the good old days. Mm-hmm. Back in the days when you put your record on a little record
player
in your dorm room and turned it up and drove everybody crazy. That was what you did? Sure, sure. Hey, you, before we get into football, you're going to be out and about this weekend, not only following football and golf, but you got an appearance, don't you?
Yeah, we've got a nice little event going on at Evergreen Liquors in Middletown tomorrow from 2 to 5. And Milt Wagner, Skywalker, Kenny Skywalker, and myself, along with Steve Beam. You asked me the other day where the distillery was, Limestone Distillery.
Yeah.
It's in Lebanon, Kentucky.
I've been to Lebanon.
Lebanon, Kentucky is where it is. And Steve Beam and his brother Paul started this about 11 or 12 years ago. They're big supporters of NBA to Lou. And this will be our second Yellowstone bottle. It's really a neat bottle. It's got the NBA to Lou with a basketball. And I'm told this is a single barrel, and it's really good bourbon. And so we'll be out there tomorrow signing that from 2 to 5, and all of the proceeds will go to our efforts to bring an NBA team to Louisville. So hope to see you at Evergreen Liquors in Middletown tomorrow.
Let's get out and say hello to Dan Issel here. He'll even work on your form from the foul line. If you can just kind of imagine shooting a foul shot, he'll critique it. Milt Wagner could critique it.
Well, and Skywalker, what I'm going to be working on is my cartwheel into the end zone. That's what I'd like to show.
into the shop.
That's what I'd like to show people.
By the way, did you see the early reports yesterday that have been now defunct, said that Lamar Jackson did not practice because he had a hip injury because of said?
Yeah. Okay. No, we said that earlier.
You've been sleeping.
You went to look at for the cups for us. We said that he hurt his. He didn't stick the landing.
Yeah. And all I wanted was that to be true for you, because I knew you would have taken your victory lap, and it would have been great.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, let's talk some college football.
I wonder if he's ever gotten out of a little Volkswagen with 20 other clowns.
Who, Lamar Jackson? Jesus Christ.
Pack the Volkswagen, man. Pack the Volkswagen. All right. What's your must-see TV game? What excites you? Now, I know you got the signing, but you'll probably take your iPad or your computer along with you. You can watch, you know, your most interesting.
Well, because I'm a Kentucky fan,
okay.
Mike, it's got to be Kentucky and South Carolina.
Okay,
I thought 2-3 weeks ago, I automatically put this in the win column for the Cats, but I don't know. I've seen, and hopefully some of these people that we've talked to this week are correct, that, you know, we haven't We haven't broke out all of our schemes and different
the trick bag. We haven't gotten into the trick
different
bag.
Defenses that we've got a punt returner that's actually going to catch the football. I'm concerned. So that's the must watch game.
All right. What's your most intriguing game?
My most intriguing game is Wisconsin and Notre Dame.
I agree.
That's my most intriguing because Wisconsin, Notre Dame hadn't played anybody yet.
Well, Toledo almost beat them from the MAC,
and they had to go to overtime to beat the 0-3 Seminoles. So Wisconsin is good, and so that's the most intriguing to see if they can actually step up against a top team, talking about Notre Dame.
Okay, well, there you go. Yep. That's a preview. Now we get down to the real nitty-gritty.
Yes.
And last week we both whiffed.
Wait a second. You didn't ask me about my top 25.
Oh, yeah.
This again is, I think, going to be really interesting. My top 25 matchup is Texas A&M at Arkansas. Both SEC teams ranked in, I think Arkansas is up to like 16, aren't they?
Yes, I think they moved ahead of Florida State, haven't they? ahead of Texas A&M.
Yeah, they're 16. They're not ahead of Texas A&M.
No, Texas A&M is 7.
Yeah.
Even with a backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Overrated.
Well, you know, we've talked about that, about Texas A&M, and I think they are overrated. It's, you know, you can't go by one game, but they were pitiful when they went to Boulder and played the Buffaloes. And so, to me, that's my top 25 matchup.
All right. Do we need to take the Ryder Cup update before
we
get
into
our
minutes?
Okay, let's do this. You've got a game. You're going to give me a game, and then I'll give you a game till we get to four.
Where we start is we always want to start with Kentucky and Louisville.
Yes. So UK currently -5.
UK's -5. How are you going, Mr.
I'm going with
Pratt?
The Cats. I think it's a touchdown game.
Yeah, I think I have to, too. Then Louisville and Florida State.
Currently -2 for U of L.
Two?
U of L -2.
Which is a pick 'em.
I like
U of L.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. But that number's come down, hasn't it, Bobby?
It's actually been pretty steady at 2 the entire week. Okay.
Maybe 2.5 at
all
times.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, you want to go first, or do you want me to go?
Go ahead.
My first game was your sleeper, which covered, not only covered, they won the game outright. Michigan State against a not very good Nebraska team.
-5, Michigan State.
So you want me to pick that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking the Sparty.
Yeah.
It's in Sparty land. In Sparty land, okay. All right, now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's in Sparty land.
Is it in Michigan State?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's only 5?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah,
Michigan. Well, Nebraska played very well against Oklahoma last weekend, right?
Yeah.
So people have given them hope.
But that wasn't Nebraska playing great. That was Oklahoma playing to the level.
I would agree. How about, I'm going to throw this one at you.
Okay.
Michigan, the Fighting Jim Harbaughs that have run the ball right down everybody's throat, and they've started out 3-0, they entertain Rutgers in the Big House.
Michigan -20.5.
Oh, wow. That's a big number.
It is.
I pick first?
Yes. It's you. I mean, I don't. You can give me one.
20.5. And it's at Michigan.
It is. It's in the Big House.
I'm going Rutgers.
Ooh, okay. You got one for me, or you want me to pick that one?
You have to pick that one.
Oh, I'm going Michigan.
Okay.
I'm going
All
Michigan.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right. My next one, in honor of Jack Crean, is Indiana and Western.
IU -5 or -8.5.
8.5. Okay.
It's come down from 9.5.
Yeah, I thought it was 9.5. 8.5. Okay. Indiana and Western, 8.5.
I don't think Western can win, but I'm going for Western to beat the number.
You think Western will cover?
I think so.
Okay. I'll go Indiana. because they were playing pretty well against Cincinnati to start.
Yeah, for three quarters. Yeah.
I'll go Indiana. Your turn.
All right. Let me see here. Did we talk Notre Dame, Wisconsin?
Oh no, but that was one I had. But that you can take that. I'll get another one.
All right, I like Wisconsin. They're favored by 3 or 4?
The Badgers, 5.5.
I'm taking the Badgers.
5.5.
Yeah, I'm taking the Badgers. They have revenge on their former quarterback who now plays QB for Notre Dame. I'm taking Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. All right. They can't be as bad as they looked, have looked, can they?
Which team?
Notre Dame.
They got talent. And they better bring it. Wisconsin could dominate the ball and make it a short
I'm going with the Irish.
Ooh.
I'm going with the Irish.
All right, it's your turn.
Texas A&M, Arkansas.
Yeah. A&M minus 5.
I'm taking the Arkansas. Arkansas's at home. I'm taking Arkansas.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
So am I. All right, your last one.
All right, I've been looking at a couple games that would be of interest to you. UCLA, 2-1, they go to Stanford. Stanford coming off a W. They beat the Fighting Commodores, I believe, by 100 or whatever the number was. UCLA coming off a loss to my team, the Fresno State Bulldogs. Who do you like?
We got UCLA, the Fighting Chip Kellys, at minus 4.5.
And it's at Stanford.
Right.
Okay.
UCLA.
Kill me, Dan.
That's who I got. I got UCLA, too. Yep.
Okay. And I don't know if there's even a line on this game, but it's got to be like 40 points. My last game is Colorado State, the Battling Rams against Iowa. That number's got to be 35.
22.5.
Where's the game?
I believe in Iowa.
Okay.
Is that Iowa? It's only 22.5?
Yep.
Vanderbilt beat Colorado State.
I'm taking Iowa.
I am too. I am too. Okay. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? You get one more.
Okay, a texter, though, says give IU credit for playing in Bowling Green against Western. We do. They played there previously. I think Vandy's the only other Power 5 school that's ventured to Bowling Green. So let's give IU a tip of the hat.
Okay.
Okay.
A tip of the hat.
Tip of the hat, texter. Now, you're still picking
Western.
Oh, absolutely. I'm still picking Western. Clemson, NC State. Clemson 2-1. Cannot find a way to score consistently. NC State gives up some points.
Bobby is looking. Bobby is looking.
We surprised him.
Yeah, because this is unfair. We can't knock him for this because we both had the same game. So this was a surprise to us.
All right, here we go. Okay. Clemson minus 9.5.
And it's at NC State.
Yep.
I am taking State to cover.
Great. Okay, I'll take Clemson.
There you go.
Okay, so those are our picks.
We've got a break, and then we can come back and pull a couple NFLs.
Yeah, you want to riff for a minute? Just talk about your picks for 50 seconds?
How are we looking?
Not well.
At the Ryder Cup.
Oh, at the Ryder Cup. Yeah, I think we're looking pretty good. I thought you meant our picks.
Well, we lost the first one. The Spieth
closed out, yeah.
Yeah,
Spieth, and our man Justin Thomas.
Spieth and Justin Thomas. That one is over. Now wait a second. They're two up through 16. They could still have it. They're two up with two to play. Johnson and Morikawa are two up with three to play. Koepka and Berger, two up with four to play. And Cantlie and Scheffler, their leads come down. They're three up with 12 to play. So I just gave the update. So
yeah, we don't need the update because we just gave it.
Do we need to go to
Report on the 43rd Ryder Cup. I'm Erica Herskowitz. After going back and forth early on, the Europeans have been dominating Group 1 of foursomes, where John Rahm and Sergio Garcia are 2-up through 16 against Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. And with their backs against the wall, the Americans needed a putt on the 16th to stay alive, and they got it.
This would be a confidence builder, even if they don't win the point, even if they don't do anything else, to extend this match. Justin throws that to the hole. He's got it. You can hear him. There we go. The Americans two down now with two to go.
John McGinnis, the call on Westwood One, so Thomas comes through, and Group One heads to the 17th. In the second match, Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa are 2-up on Paul Casey and Victor Hovland through 14. Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger 2-up through 14 against Lee Westwood and Matt Fitzpatrick. And Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele are 3-up through 12 against Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter. Erica Herskowitz, Westwood One Sports.
I am Robert Strickler. My wife Joyce and I have been married for 53 years. Certainly one of the really important things in my life are our children and our grandchildren. I am essentially a writer. I've been involved in communications and the media. I've been an avid fly fisherman for at least 40 or more years. I've been taking Prevagen on a regular basis for at least 8 years. For me, the greatest benefit over the years has been that Prevagen seems to help me recall things and also think more clearly, have a crisper ability to remember and think through things. And I enthusiastically recommend Prevagen. It has helped me an awful lot.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Robert Strickler is a content contributor for Prevagen and real user, based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right. How about that? Our update for the Ryder Cup has been good, and you've got an update on where we can get some great pizza.
Absolutely. Let me tell you about my friends at Bear Nose Pizza, especially Rob Moody, our friend out at Bear Nose at Bowman Field. There are 13 area locations. It's my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Bear Nose are now delivering alcohol, carry out and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Bear Nose is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza. And Mike, we have to thank George and the Bear Nose team for from Bear Nose
before the locusts get in.
Exactly. For dropping off lunch today at the ESPN studios. Bear Nose has you covered tonight and this weekend for the big game. So thank you to George for bringing by pizza for everybody here.
Yeah, we probably have, what, 5 or 6 minutes to work in our NFL picks?
You got four.
4 minutes. Okay, we got a couple picks apiece. I'm going to give you my boys, the Pumpkinheads. They're entertaining. The Chicago Bears, who have a quarterback issue. They're going to start the rookie, Justin Fields, from Ohio State.
Isn't that nice? You get your first start in the NFL, and it's, again, one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, usually, you know, your first start against the Browns would be a good thing, except for now.
and they're under pressure. The defense is under pressure. People have said they're underperforming. Woo! They could open a can on the Bears. They could open a can. Yes, so the Browns are 7-point favorite. What do you think, Daniel?
I think the Browns are a cinch.
There you go.
That's what I think.
All right.
Okay, my turn?
Your turn.
Are you guys going to pick the same games?
No, we're going to switch this up.
Okay.
We're going to pick three, right?
Three, correct.
Three, okay.
If we have time.
So the Browns are the first one.
Yep.
My game is the Sunday night game.
Okay.
Green Bay and the 49ers.
Minus 3.5.
49ers.
For the 49ers.
49ers are minus 3.5.
And it's in California.
It's in San Francisco. Well, actually, it's in
Santa Clara.
But
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. This is a simple pick for me. Very simple.
Look at this. Look, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but was that Jordan Spieth? He just the shot was way down at the, and he made a phenomenal shot. He puts it within like 5 feet. He's down in the valley, and on the backswing, he almost falls into Lake Michigan.
Beautiful, beautiful.
But I still think they're going to lose. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. 49ers or Green Bay?
I'm taking the Niners and giving the points.
Okay. Well, we can't do the same thing. I'll go with I'll go with Green Bay.
Okay.
All right.
Now, how about this one? How about going back and thinking about Kenny Anderson and the Cincinnati Bengals? They entertain the Steelers, and nobody knows where or if Roethlisberger is going to play. But the Steelers are only a three-point favorite. I'm sorry, it's at Pittsburgh. They're only a three-point favorite, though.
Three? Is that right, Bobby?
That is correct.
Oh, I love my Bengals, but they can't beat Pittsburgh.
Well, without Roethlisberger or a wounded Roethlisberger,
I don't know.
I like your Bengals.
You're taking the Bengals? Well, then that's then that.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I have a caveat. I'm
no, there's no caveat. Hey, who are you, Blankenbaker? Oh, Louisville's going to beat Kentucky. You want to bet? How many points you give me?
Give me the Bengals.
All right, I'll take Pittsburgh.
You're taking Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I can't believe you went against. I would never bet against my pumpkin heads. Never. I would rather bet than bet against my pumpkin heads. Not bet. Oh, Lordy.
Well, we just lost the first match, Spieth and Rahm. They're up three with one to play. So we lost the first match this morning, but we're in great shape on the three that are left. So maybe the Americans will take a nice early lead against the Euros.
It would be good because Saturday and Sunday become tighten up time.
Yeah.
I mean, you play loose as a goose now in your first game, first day, and then you get a little tight. But what a beautiful golf course. And those guys, they get off to the left down the hill, as you said, Spieth hit that shot, and they've been off to the right and playing those holes like I would play them. And you got a bunker or two that was just hit. So it's a hard golf course, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard golf course.
Well, what do you have planned for this weekend?
Well, I'm going to follow the cats.
A recliner weekend?
Yeah, I got some things I got to do. I got to change the batteries in the smoke detectors.
I got a big weekend coming up.
I got to sweep out the garage.
Well,
and I got a big weekend coming up.
Our man Process is on his way to Philadelphia, right? Your grandmother's birthday?
90th birthday,
90th
yeah.
birthday.
God bless her.
God bless her. That's terrific.
Give her a hug for us.
Have a safe trip, and we'll see you Monday morning. And you all have a great weekend. We appreciate you listening to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. Get out there and enjoy this beautiful weekend. Have a great day, everybody.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.